Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news, interviews from the biggest names in the industry, and game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll. Here's your host, the man with the best beard in Daily Fantasy, Crazy Gaby.
Howdy. As the man said, I am Crazy Gaby. And I am coming to you all alone today, all by myself. That's all right. The only thing that kind of sucks, I was thinking about this before I started, before I fired this bad boy up. The only thing that kind of sucks about being by yourself is you have nobody that laughs when you tell a joke, or at least makes you feel, you know, okay when you tell a terrible joke that most people wouldn't laugh at. But they kind of give you the complimentary chuckle just to let you know that at least your heart was in the right place. Yeah, there's none of that when you're by yourself, so I'm going to look into a laugh track after this podcast for any instances where I might have to record by myself in the future. For today, no laughter, at least none that I can hear, but we do have some good stuff to get into. I'm going to be breaking down the slate from last night. Lots of good stuff to glean from that. Going to go over the two games that we have for today. It's a very stud-filled evening, so value plays are going to reign supreme, as it often is the case on Thursdays when the NBA places the marquee teams in the spotlight. And also going to bring you my normal nonsense and artist of the day for your listening pleasure. So let's go ahead and get started by talking about our sponsor site, FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, we appreciate everything you do for us here at Roto Grinders. We appreciate you helping to keep the lights on with your support. And most of all, we appreciate the two kick-ass contests that people can be qualifying for. Now, both of these are a little bit different in the way they are structured. The World Fantasy Basketball Championship, a qualifier event, of course. You're going to be heading to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in sizzling South Beach, Miami, to play for your chance at a $100,000 first place prize or a share of the total $1 million in prizes. You can qualify for that tournament for as low as $2. But then you also have the King of the Ice. $250,000 in cash prizes for an NHL tournament is nothing to shake a stick at. $40,000 to first place pays out all the way to 236th place. And this is a tournament that you don't have to qualify for to go to a live final. You can buy in yourself. You can qualify by winning tickets. But the important part is it is open to everyone. So no matter whether you start trying to qualify for tickets now, or if you decide to wait until the day of and just buy direct entries, definitely not recommended. You should try to get those entries on the cheap. But regardless of what you do, this one will be open for everybody to participate in. So no excuse to not be brushing up on your fantasy hockey skills. We have lots of experts here at Roto Grinders that can help you learn. Boggs, Bills Fan, Pepsi 7, Duger, the Tony M, all those guys with an eye for the puck. They understand the game like none other. And there's some great content for the fantasy hockey noob right there on the homepage at Roto Grinders. All you got to do is scroll down a little bit, and I guarantee, look, you're not going to be a savvy veteran by the time you're done reading it, but you will be able to hold your own if you use that content in conjunction with the daily picks that are put out and the live shows that are done whenever there is a large fantasy hockey slate. Those are the two tournaments, the World Fantasy Basketball Championship and the King of the Ice Tournament. Make sure you're qualifying for both. Now, a little bit of nonsense for you guys here today before we dive into the nitty-gritty, the meat and potatoes of the day. DFSMingle.com, an idea I have been toying around with for the past couple of days. If you've caught any of my live shows recently, you know that this is quickly becoming a pet project of mine. Now, I know next to nothing about building a website, so there's very little chance this ever comes to fruition. But just the idea is enough to make me thrilled. Just imagine the 90 to 95 or however high it might be percent of the DFS population, all the males, trying to impress and puff their chests out that one or two females that might sign up for the site. I think it would be thrilling. DFSMingle.com definitely needs to happen. Someone smarter than myself, someone with more technical prowess needs to make that happen. But I wanted to throw something out to you guys. If you would stop by my Twitter account, at CrazyGaby, and just leave me like whatever your punchline would be or whatever like your quote would be on your DFSMingle.com account, you know, so like you know, if you had a little quote under your picture that was just like for people who were scrolling through real quick to get a sense of who you are, what would your quote be? And, of course, major, you know, the points don't really mean anything. It's kind of like whose line is it anyway. But major points will be awarded to those who are able to mend, you know, kind of able to mix a daily fantasy or a sports pun in with their profile quote. So I'd love for you guys to stop by my Twitter account. I'd love to see some of these during the day, and I will read some of the better ones out loud on air if you guys give me enough of them. So should be a fun time with that. And also my album of the day for today. This one's not going to surprise anyone. Well, it may surprise you that the band actually is this. There is a band called The Beards. Every album they put out, beard-themed. Every song they write, beard-themed. And I'm going to go with one of their albums from about 3 or 4 years back called Having a Beard is the New Not Having a Beard. It includes such hits as The Beard and You Should Consider Having Sex with a Bearded Man, two of my favorite songs by The Beards. This is a band I definitely think you should check out. It's good to just kick back, listen to. I guarantee you'll have a couple of laughs. And if nothing else, it will inspire you to grow a beard if you don't already have one, which I highly advocate. And with that, we are off and ready to talk about some daily fantasy basketball. Goran Dragic, last night, he left the Phoenix Suns because he didn't like, especially in the fourth quarter, standing in the corner and being a small forward impersonator and not having the ball in his hands. Last night, Dwayne Wade, Mario Chalmers, playing a little bit of that two-man game. Goran Dragic, standing in the corner without the ball in his hands. Listen, it's only one game. I don't think that it's going to continue just because I don't think Mario Chalmers has it in him to be that good for the rest of the season. But nonetheless, it's something to keep a look at. Goran Dragic extremely disgruntled towards the end of his tenure with the Phoenix Suns. And I realize that the injury to Chris Bosh has definitely changed the trajectory or the possible trajectory of the Miami Heat season. Even though you and I know they didn't have a snowball's chance in hell at actually making it to any sort of Eastern Conference Finals or you know, just NBA Finals type deal. They probably thought they had a chance. They probably thought there was an actual possibility they were going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals if they had all those guys healthy and brought Dragic in. So listen, I'm sure the game plan changes a little bit, but I'm very skeptical that Goran Dragic will stay happy if this continues to be his role in the fourth quarter. And there were multiple occasions, especially with Mario Chalmers, where he just looked Goran Dragic off completely when he was wide open cutting through the middle and instead opted to wait for Dwayne Wade to cut through the middle and give it to him. Now, it's Dwayne Wade, it's his team, obviously, etc., but still, something very interesting to keep an eye on. It's time to treat the Atlanta Hawks like the San Antonio Spurs, and here's what I mean by that. Obviously, you're not getting pop left and right. In fact, Coach Bud was very polite. He was very civil when he popped players earlier this season. He let us know well ahead of time so we could adjust our lineups accordingly. We were given such hits as Al Horford's predictable big game when he had his triple-double, and other guys like Paul Millsap and Jeff Teague who went off when Al Horford, when Kyle Korver were out of the lineup. So it's not the popping that so much we have to worry about. What we have to worry about is how evenly distributed the fantasy value is on this team. You know how sometimes it's very difficult to get a beat on which Spurs player is going to have a huge night simply because they don't run a whole lot of isolation. There's not a whole lot of chance for one guy to shine outside of the system. So it's really sometimes a crapshoot outside of Tim Duncan for the most part to figure out who's going to have the fantasy value on any given night. And that's starting to be what the Hawks look like. Kind of outside of Al Horford, it's kind of difficult to peg down which Hawk is really going to have his number called on any given evening. I'm not saying it's as bad as the San Antonio Spurs yet. I'm just saying that as this offense unselfishly progresses, we could see a lot more games where everybody kind of has a meh fantasy point total, even though these players are all individually capable of putting up monster nights every time they take the floor. Jay Crowder is hot right now, and he's working the two-man game with Isaiah Thomas very well. Both guys coming off the bench. He's a great pop man, especially with Isaiah Thomas threatening to shoot if the players go under the screen and threatening to drive if they try to fight through it and nobody comes over for the ice help. Jay Crowder popping out to the three-point line could continue to have some very solid value, even if he doesn't get the start. I would keep an eye, too, on making sure, you know, kind of to borrow a hockey reference, to make sure he's playing on the same line as Isaiah Thomas, because those are the two that are really working well together. It is no coincidence that Jay Crowder has started to heat up since he got an actual point guard to play with on the second unit. Aaron Brooks, 28 minutes last night. That was the big concern for me. We've seen instances in the past where he's gotten low 20 minutes and not had a lot of offensive responsibility, even with Derrick Rose out. I think last night sort of quashed all that. Kirk Heinrich's just not at a stage in his career where he can afford to play big minutes, and Mike Dunleavy's not giving them a whole lot in scoring right now either. That means they necessarily need to have Aaron Brooks out there for 25 to 30 minutes a game, and he needs to take some shots because he's got to alleviate some pressure from Jimmy Butler, Pau Gasol, and the like. I like Aaron Brooks as a value play moving forward until his price tag bumps up around the $5,000 range. DeAndre Jordan is an absolute monster, averaging over 19 rebounds per game over his last five. I read a great stat on RotoWorld that he's one of five players to do that since the 2009-2010 season. So, I mean, what he's doing is in rarefied air right now, and the shooting as well, the usage rate, the field goal percentage, all of it just makes him a supreme DFS cash game play, especially. I know his price tag is getting up there, so the profit potential is shrinking by the day, but in cash games right now, if you can't figure out what to do with your high-end spots and there's some good value plays at other positions, just slot DeAndre Jordan in there and take his 50-plus fantasy points. That's basically what he's a near lock for at this point. Randy Whitman runs an abomination on offense. Read a great article. It was retweeted by a Washington Wizards fan account. I don't actually have the link or remember what site it was from, so I apologize for that. Can't be too hard to find, though. It's a very recent article, and it's basically talking about how Randy Whitman, you know, surprise, surprise, something we've all talked about for years, is holding this Washington Wizards team back. And he is. He absolutely is. There's just stagnant movement on offense. There's not a lot of sense that gets made. There's just not a lot of sense. If you're wondering why, okay, I'm sorry to ramble there for a second, but stumble over myself. If you're wondering why guys like Marcin Gortat are struggling so much, you look at your Marcin Gortats of the world and you say, hey, this guy was amazing with his previous team. They signed him to a huge deal. Why is he struggling so much? He's struggling because they're not even doing anything until they get like 10 seconds deep into the shot clock. And even then, it's not really anything that they're doing. They're just asking players to try to improvise and get something done themselves. Randy Whitman is not a very strong head coach in the NBA. Listen, I'm sure he's a nice guy in real life, et cetera, but they will only go as far as he takes them, and right now he is taking them out of the playoffs, or at least out of the playoffs in the first round, because they are just god-awful at the moment. Losing by 20 to the, well, much-improved Minnesota Timberwolves, but they're still losing by 20 to the Timberwolves. Not something that can happen to a team that once had Eastern Conference title aspirations. So the talent is all still there. Bradley Beal is injured, yeah, but you know what? That shouldn't be the difference between getting blown out by the Timberwolves and, you know, beating a team that you should beat if you have title aspirations. Markel Brown, my man for the Brooklyn Nets, logged 30 minutes last night, and we actually kind of predicted that's where his minutes would be with Jared Jack coming back and Bojan Bogdanovic still out. We predicted he'd probably be right around 20 fantasy points, which is right around where he finished. So, look, if you ever need a shooting guard punt play, I think he's a fine guy to go after, but it's not like he's somebody we're actively targeting that he has to be in our lineups. Just kind of a guy, if you have to have a low salary player, it seems like as long as he's going to get around 30 minutes per game, he should have a relatively high floor in terms of, you know, at least value plays are concerned. He fills up the peripheral statistics, which is really what you want with a guy like that. You don't really want a scoring dependent guy because generally players that are super cheap are not high on the offensive food chain, which means there's an good chance that if they miss a couple of shots, that could be their opportunity passing them by for a game, i.e. a player like Alan Anderson, who can be hot, he can be cold. Markel Brown strikes me as more of the steady Eddie type. He's just going to contribute blocks, steals, rebounds, and at the end of the night, they're all going to add up to be something around what you invested in him for a bare minimum salary. Danilo Gallinari, oh, you know what, I should go back here. I also wanted to talk about Jarrett Jack's limited minutes for a second, because 28 minutes apparently are limited minutes now. Jarrett Jack also looked good out on the court, and it definitely hurt Deron Williams and his value a little bit. Look, should they be starting both of them alongside each other? Probably. Is it going to happen? Doesn't look like it. Can you play either one of these guys if both are going to be logging 25-plus minutes? Probably not, so, you know, take with that what you will. When one of them gets injured, target the other one. But until then, nah, I'm just probably going to stay away from this situation. It's not looking like one that's going to clear itself up anytime soon. Danilo Gallinari and his minutes right now are in a complete abomination. If you've heard me talk before about how guys with injuries, especially guys who have injury risk in the past, why do we do this to them? Why do we run these guys into the ground, especially on tanking teams that don't matter. I realize Brian Shaw needs to at least be competitive in games, but there's no excuse for playing Danilo Gallinari for this many minutes. The guy is going to break down. He's historically one of the most fragile players in the NBA over the past five seasons or so. Yes, he was once considered a great scoring prospect. Yes, he can go for 20-plus points per game anytime he's over 30 minutes. That doesn't mean he should be out there. Look, reluctantly, I'll say for DFS purposes, if he's going to play over 30 minutes and if he's going to take that many shots, yes, he's probably your small forward punt play of choice just because he is so offensively minded and consumes such a high usage rate on a team with no real offensive options left outside of Ty Lawson with Yusuf Nurkic going down last night. But still, it really saddens me. I'll continue to beat the Danilo Gallinari should not be playing this many minutes drum. I think it's absolutely foolish, and it really makes me despise Brian Shaw for what he is doing right now, at least in a basketball sense. Just can't get behind it. Not at all. Joffrey Laver, I think I'm pronouncing that correct, is the de facto starting center for the Denver Nuggets now, with Yusuf Nurkic going down, Timofey Mozgov traded, Kenneth Fareed also hurt. Laver should continue to see some major minutes. It's a guy who's got decent footwork around the post. He can rebound. He can block a few shots here or there. Definitely somebody you'll want to look into next matchup. Now, Brian Shaw can be notoriously fickle with his big man rotation, so it's not like I'm saying go all in, but definitely somebody who the next time the Denver Nuggets play, you will want to be looking at as a potential value play at the center spot. P.J. Tucker continues to log heavy power forward minutes, and we love little guys playing the stretch four. P.J. Tucker can shoot the three ball. He out-hustles other power forwards who are bigger and slower, and he's just an all-around badass on the basketball court. He contributes in the peripherals. He's pumped up his scoring volume. I love P.J. Tucker, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why some people who have been in the Roto-Grinders chat recently don't seem to like P.J. Tucker. He's just a scrappy player, picks up peripheral stats, and he can put double-digit points on the board on any given night. He will continue to be one of my favorite small forwards to target moving forward with the Suns now that he's receiving a large amount of minutes. Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe playing very nice with one another. Saw a great stat from Michael Gallagher at rotoworld.com. Turns out Brandon Knight has passed more times to Eric Bledsoe than any other teammate, and he has received passes from Eric Bledsoe more than any other teammate. Combine that with, I think he said 19 three-pointers over his past two games is how many Brandon Knight has took. Knight shooting 40% on Trey so far this season. It's looking like a great spot for his value. We just need to wait for that price tag to go down a little bit. So kind of keep it in the back of your mind that in 2-3 weeks, it might be time to start targeting Brandon Knight alongside Eric Bledsoe. But until then, I would probably stay away just without the ball in his hand a ton. He's not going to have that same upside that he had in Milwaukee. Last one, and I'll throw this question out there to you guys. Are the San Antonio Spurs old, and is this it? We've been asking that question for like 10 years now. It's never looked more real, though, than it looks right now. I mean, there are some major issues with this team. I find it hard to believe they're just going to turn it on overnight. Just some major issues right now. Even their best player, Kawhi Leonard, playing with no confidence at the moment. I'd love to know what you guys think. That'd be another thing. If you want to stop by my Twitter account and let me know what you've seen, if you've been watching any San Antonio Spurs games, maybe give Justin, at Big Italy 42, give him some good-natured ribbing. Of course, he's a huge Spurs fan, biggest one I know. But yeah, I just don't know that the Spurs are ever going to be what they once were, and that makes me sad, but this team is looking like it might have finally been bit by the age bug. And outside of Tim Duncan, there's just not a whole lot to love right now in this squad. Let's talk about tonight's games a little bit, folks. Only two of them. Golden State at Cleveland, 215.5 point over-under, -3.5 for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Taking on the Warriors there, best team in the NBA, or I guess second best team in the NBA. Hawks have the best record, I believe. It's going to be very difficult for me to play more than Steph Curry in this game, mainly because, A, the production has been down for everyone else, kind of that selfless team basketball I was talking about with the Atlanta Hawks and the San Antonio Spurs. And B, the price tags are up on a lot of these guys. I don't really want to pay for Klay Thompson right now if Steph Curry's going to be in there. So Steph Curry probably my main target here for the Warriors. And for the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think they offer up an interesting value play in J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, of course, has been logging a good number of minutes recently in that first unit. And he's been fantastic on spot-up shots. He's basically catch and shoot at this moment. He's also passing the ball very well. You can see his elevated assist totals, getting a lot of steals recently. A lot to like about J.R. Smith at 5,300. He's kind of that glue that's going to help keep your lineup together if you are playing tonight. And outside of that, Draymond Green, I guess, but man, he hasn't hit his value threshold, even with a declining price tag, in quite some time. You got to look back to February 7th, actually, to see when he hit his value threshold last. And the game before that, he also hit it. And then before that, it was basically much of the same, right around 30 fantasy points. Couldn't really be trusted for much more. Listen, I can't fault you for targeting him because small forward is so weak tonight, but he's not going to be a primary target for me. So LeBron James, of course, somebody you can always play, but I like going big with both shooting guard spots tonight with Stephen Curry and a guy from our next game, Russell Westbrook, Oklahoma City taking on Phoenix in the desert. 217 point over under, minus 4.5 for Oklahoma City in this one, which surprises me a little bit. I guess not a ton. Phoenix on the back-to-back, and you know, they're just, I guess, not as good as they were before, but still, I would have thought it would have been a little bit of a closer spread, maybe even Phoenix favored by a point or a pick'em or something like that. But regardless, I like going big at point guard with Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry. That means we're going to need some value plays. Some of my favorites are Deion Waiters. Even though he's not putting up a lot of fantasy points, he's seeing a lot of minutes, and that's almost as valuable on a short slate where we just need guys who have opportunity. PJ Tucker, who, of course, I mentioned in the last segment, somebody that I absolutely love. Alex Lynn, another cheapie you can throw out there, especially with no Steven Adams. Enes Kanter is not solid on defense at the center spot. Alex Lynn should have his way with him. And then Serge Ibaka, somebody you basically have to play with Kevin Durant out. He's really kind of decided to step up and be the 1B to Russell Westbrook's 1A, putting up monster fantasy point totals. His lowest total, 36.9 fantasy points in his last three games. He's had two games over 40 fantasy points, a 44.4 and a 46.6 fantasy point outing. Definitely a player you need to have in your lineups tonight. So just to kind of run that back, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, my two high-end guys I'm targeting. Then I like guys like J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters, P.J. Tucker, and Alex Lynn as my cheapies. Serge Ibaka, kind of the other mid-range guy I think you need to have. And then it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't shout out my man Mitch McGarry, who it looks like he's perfectly comfortable playing in that 15 to 20 minute role, and he's producing the hell out of the ball. I mean, when he gets in there, he's extremely productive. This might be a case of just the perfect calibration. The guy's not ready for larger minutes and maybe suffers as a result, but he can go out there and he can expend a ton of energy in a very short amount of time, and he is putting in work. So Mitch McGarry will probably be in all my lineups tonight if I decide to play. At $4,000, probably your best like bare minimum type punt option on the slate tonight. And with that, we wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you all very much for listening. Make sure you head to FanDuel.com, play in some of those World Fantasy Basketball Championship qualifiers and some of those King of the Ice qualifiers. Remember, that one is a tournament you can also buy into on the day of. And also, head to RotoGrinders.com. Look at some of our content today. I talked about that hockey content that will help you learn how to be a daily fantasy hockey pro. And I was not kidding. It's all sitting right there right now. I'm actually taking a look at it, so you can read that. Have a good day. Best of luck in all your contests tonight. And I will see all of you tomorrow on Grinders Live or Monday on the podcast, wherever I see you first. Peace.